بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate.
إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح.
When the help comes from Allah and victory is granted. When the help comes from Allah and victory is granted. The reference here is to a decisive victory which may make Islam dominant in Arabia. Some Quranic scholars equate this with the conquest of Mecca. However, that happened in 8 Hijri, whereas this surah was sent down by the end of 10 Hijri, as is evident from the reports by Abdullah ibn Umar and Sarah bint Nabhan, cited by us in the surah's introduction. Moreover, this view conflicts with Ibn Abbas's assertion that this is the last complete surah of the Quran, for it was Surah Al-Tawbah that was sent down after the conquest of Mecca. That victory had no doubt demoralized the Arab polytheists, yet they had not given up wholly. The battles of Taif and Hunain did break out after the conquest of Mecca, and it took another 2 years for the total control of Islam over Arabia.
وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا.
And you see people entering Allah's religion in multitudes. And you see people entering Allah's religion in multitudes. In other words, the time when people enter the fold of Islam in throngs, not in twos and threes. Entire tribes should accept Islam without battle or resistance. This began happening in early 9 Hijri, the year of delegations. Many delegations called on the Prophet, peace be upon him, from all parts of Arabia and pledged their allegiance to him. By 10 Hijri, when he went on his farewell pilgrimage, the whole of Arabia had come under his rule and not a single polytheist existed in Arabia.
فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا.
Then extol the praise of your Lord and pray to him for forgiveness, for he indeed is ever disposed to accept repentance. Then extol the praise of... The reference here is to glorifying and praising Allah. He should be pronounced free from all defects. The Prophet, peace be upon him, is directed that on witnessing divine help, the thought should not cross his mind that some credit is due to he himself for the phenomenal success. Rather, the credit is entirely Allah's. Such success represents Allah's favor, and he should therefore thank him and acknowledge it in both word and deed. As for glorifying him, this consists in speaking of him as above and beyond every defect. The Prophet's striving achieved success, but thanks only to Allah's help. He makes any of his servants accomplish what he wills. He did the Prophet, peace be upon him, a great favor in entrusting this mission to him and in making Islam ascendant. Moreover, this glorification is the expression of exclamation over Islam's incredible success. Without his help, such grand success could not have been achieved.
Praise of your Lord and pray to him for forgiveness. He should turn to Allah, seeking his forgiveness for any lapse or omission he might have committed. This is the Islamic norm. One may do any job in the cause of Islam, may sacrifice all that he has, and may undergo severe hardships, yet he should not think even for a moment that he has completely discharged his duty. Instead, all along, he should realize that he has not done his due. Accordingly, he should supplicate to Allah for pardon and implore him to accept his modest efforts. Since the Prophet, peace be upon him, was instructed thus, any other Muslim cannot dare think highly of his contribution to Islam or feel that he has discharged his duty well. Obligations to Allah cannot be adequately performed by any creature. This verse teaches Muslims that they should not think highly of their worship or service to the cause of Islam. Rather, even after investing all that they have in the cause of faith, they should be concerned only about their lapses and inabilities. If they attain any success, they should ascribe it to His grace, and far from having any pride, they should turn humbly to Him, praising and glorifying Him and seeking His pardon and forgiveness.